Okay. I forgot to mention one thing from yesterday's daf. In the first Tosfos, when he discusses why you do Bedikas Chametz, and Tosfos said the reason you do Bedikas Chametz is because we're scared that you're going to find something during Pesach. If you just mevatel your Chametz, it could be you'll chance upon some tasty Chametz, and you'll eat it because you never did Bedika, you never checked your house. So Tosfos says, so why are we so concerned to do that for Chametz and other things you're not allowed to eat in your house? You're allowed to keep in your house. For example, basar b'chalav, or orla, or all these other types of things. You're allowed to have them in your house. You don't have to search and destroy. So how come chametz you have to search and destroy? So Tosfos says, because chametz is something that you're so common. It's so common. You're so used to it. Right? 51 weeks out of the year, you're allowed to eat it. It's only 1 week. So because of that reason, that's why there's such an issue by searching for chametz. And other mepharshim say that's one of the reasons why there are all these restrictions when it comes to Hilchas Nida, all these hachakos, all these barriers. You don't have that with other women. You're allowed to hand something to another woman because you're with your wife your whole life. So it's much more easy for you to slip into your routine and sin by that. And that, but that's why Bedikas Chametz, that's why there's such an issue, such a hakpada to do Bedikas Chametz, because it's so common in your life. Okay, next. We're at the bottom of Beis Amud Beis, the last line. So even though we've already proved more than once that Or means night, the Gemara is keeping at it, because as we said, they wanna just drive the point home and drive the point home. So I saw yesterday, I think it was the Sefer called Yisra Bracha, a very nice Sefer from Sefer Tzibrachim. He says, you know why they keep driving the point home? Because every discussion here was said in a different Beis Medrash. All different Amroyim, all came to the same conclusion, not knowing each other. So Rav Ashi, when he compiled the Gemara, he put them all together. That's why I keep saying Shema Minah, and then he keep saying Meisvei, because that was in a different yeshiva. They didn't know that they reached this conclusion. They kept reaching the same conclusion by bringing unrelated, you know, different Gemaras, different Psukim, and different discussions to reach the same result. So Meisvei, Marzutra asked the following question: Hamapeles or Lushimon of the Echad? We're going to prove from here that the word Or must mean night. So if a woman miscarries on the Or of the 81st day, what's going on here? We know that when a woman has a baby, so if it's a girl, she's Tameya for 14 days, and then she's Tahora for the next 66 days. Mrs. Midaraisa, Midarabana, we do not hold like this at all, Midaraisa. During those 66 days, no matter what dam she sees, she's still going to be Tahora. Right? We don't hold like this at all. But Mitzvah Midaraisa, no matter what goes on during those 66 days, she's Tahora. At the end of that 80-day period, she has to bring a carbon, because she had a baby. She's a Yoledas. Let's say, during those 66 days, she becomes pregnant and miscarries again. So how many, does she have to bring another carbon? So the Mishnah says, no, she doesn't. During the 66 days, no matter what goes on in her life, she's only bringing one carbon. No matter how many times she has a miscarriage, only bringing one carbon. What if she miscarries? Now, on the 80th day is the last day. The 81st day, Rashi explains, if she miscarries on that day, she'll have to bring a separate carbon, because it's a new world, right? The 80 days are over. What if she miscarries on that night, on that Or? She miscarries on that night. So really, the night, we say, follows the day. So that night, the 80th day is finished. It's now Shkia, right? The husband comes home from Meiruv. It's now the 81st day. It's that night. That's the night that she miscarries. What is the halacha about that night? So there's a machlok, it's Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai, Petur mi carbon. Beis Shammai says she does not have to bring a separate carbon. The carbon that she's bringing for the baby from 80 days ago, that will potter this miscarriage too. They say no, she has to bring a separate carbon. Now, Amru Beis Hill le Beis Shammai, Maishna or Shmonim the Echad, Miyom Shmonim the Echad. What's the difference between the night and the day? Between the Or and the day, that's going to bring the proof. Since Beis Hill said, what's the difference between the Or and the day? Doesn't that mean Or means night? And the Gemara says, yes, that means that. That's Shema Minah. So, but what, we're in the middle of here. So Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, what's the difference between the night? The day you agree. The day you agree, she has to bring a new carbon. So why the night before does she not have to? So the Gemara doesn't answer the question. Im shiva lo tumah. If they're the same regarding tumah, meaning if she, let's say she has the re'iyas dam that night, so she certainly becomes a nida, and right or lo yish, right, and the same thing if she has the re'iyas dam that morning, the next morning, the 81st day, she becomes a nida. So lo yishvu lo l'karban. So shouldn't they be the same halacha regarding the karban? You agree, Beis Shammai, that if she has a she has a miscarriage on the 81st day, in the morning that day, she has to bring a separate karban. 80 days are over. So don't you agree that if it happens the night before, she also has to bring a separate karban? And Beis Shammai answer back, yes, we would agree with you, except for one thing. You're right. It's all, once the 80 days are over, that night is the 81st night, it's a new world. However, you're not allowed to bring karbanos at night. So for that technical reason, that you're not allowed to bring karbanos at night, I hold that the miscarriage of that night is included in the 80 days. You're right, regarding everything else, it's a whole different, it's brand new. Starting over, she's starting over, the 80 days. But since she can't bring a karban, even if she wanted to. Beis Mikdash is not open at night, there's no karbanos at night, so she can't. So because of that technicality, Beis Shammai holds that she can, that the carbon of the first 80 days will potter anything that goes on that night. But otherwise, in essence, they agree with Beis Hillel. But for that technical reason, they don't. Now, so that's all side discussion. Now, mid ka'amar, Beis Hillel le Beis Shammai, since Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai, Maishna or Shmon of Echad, Miyom Shmon of Echad, what's the difference between the R of the 80th day and the 81st day and the Yom of the 81st day? Shmamina or Tahu? Isn't that a raya that R means night? Shmamina, yes it is. Okay. Next. Meisvei, another one. Yachal, I would think, Yehenechal or Lushlishi. I would think that you're allowed to eat a karban on the R of the third of the Shlishi. What's going on here? There are some karbanos that you're allowed to eat for 2 days and in the night in between. So for example, if you bring a karban on a Monday, Shlamin, you're allowed to eat it that Monday. Right, you can't bring karbanos the night anyway. So that Monday night and Tuesday. 2 days and the night in between. So now the Gemara says, what about the R of Tuesday? Which again, we're going to say that it means Tuesday night. Can I eat a karban on Tuesday night? That's already the R of the third day. It's really Wednesday. Right, Tuesday night and Wednesday are the same din. So can I eat it that night? So we know you can't. But the Gemara is questioning, maybe you can. Maybe you can eat it that night. Why? V'dinhu. It's a kavachomer. Zvachim, some karbanos, nechalim liyom echad. Some karbanos you can only eat for 1 day. Right? You can eat it that day, the day you bring it. And shlamim, nechalim l'shnei yamim. And some karbanos, shlamim, you can eat for 2 days. Malahalon laila achar hayom. Just like in the cases where you only have 1 day to eat it, you're allowed to eat it the night that you bring it. So if you bring it Monday, you can eat it Monday. You're allowed to eat it the whole Monday night. Afkan, so too over here, Laila Achar Hayom. So too over here, the night should follow the day. If it's a case of Karbana, you can eat it one day, Monday. You can eat it Monday, you can eat it Monday night. So too, you should eat it Monday night, Tuesday night. The night follows the day. How come not? Talmud Lamar, because the Pasuk says, Beyom Zivchachem Ye'ochel, Umimacharaz V'hanoser Ad Yom. The Gemara is going to make a play on the words of Ad Yom. That you can eat it that day, and then it becomes Noser. Ad Yom. What does it mean, Ad Yom? Ba'od Yom. While it's still day, hu nechal. That's when you're allowed to eat this karban. Ve'enu nechal or shlishi. But you can't eat it anymore the following night, the second night, meaning Tuesday night. That you can't do. Now, yachal yisrof miyad. I would think that any leftovers, right, if a carbon has leftovers, it becomes no, sir. You're not allowed to eat that. You have to burn it. So I would think you have to burn it right away. Why? Again, another kavachomer. V'dinu, it's a kavachomer. Zvachim nechal liyom v'layla. If zvachim are eaten for a yom, for a day, and that night, they're eaten Monday, and Monday night you're allowed to eat it. So when are you burning it? Tuesday morning. Right? Right? Again, some karbanos are eaten for 1 day and that night. Some karbanos are eaten for 2 days and the night in between. Rashi says something very, very difficult. He says, in the Rashi of Zvachim de'echal yom echad. It's like a few lines before they get wide. Rashi, he says toda. He's talking about a toda. Dekzeh yom karbana yachal. That's a carbon they eat for one day and a night. Shlomi ne'echal shnei yamim, and a shalom eat for 2 days. Ma'alahal laila achar hayom dekzeh begufeg dekra lo yaniach nimenu ad boker hakol halayla ochel. Right? Then it says v'chein Pesach. Sticks in the words v'chein Pesach. So a Pesach, you can only eat at night. You can't eat a carbon Pesach during the day. So what's Rashi saying? Some of the farshim say no. What he means is that it has the dinim of a shlamim regarding other halachos, and it's true. The achila can only be eaten at night, but the other aspects of a Pesach are similar to a carbon shlamim. It's like a shlamim in all respects, except for the eating is an exception. But in every other respect, it has a dinim of a shlamim, and that's what Rashi is referring to. Anyway, back to the Gemara. So v'dinhu, zvachan echal liyom v'layla echad. Zvachan can be eaten for 1 day and 1 night. Shlamim echal l'shneyom v'layla echad. And a shlamim can be eaten for 2 days and the night in between. Malahalan, just like by the case of a zvachim. Take if l'achila sreifa, the minute that you have to stop eating it. You have to burn it. You're allowed to eat it, you make a carbon Monday. You can eat it the whole Monday night. Tuesday morning, you got to burn it. So, so too by a carbon shlamim, take if l'achila sreifa. You should burn it right away. You're allowed to eat the carbon Monday night, Tuesday. Burn it Tuesday night. Why are we waiting until Wednesday morning to burn it? Talmud Lomer, because the pasuk says the hanosar mibsar hazevach biyom hashlishi be'eshi saref. Right, the pasuk specifically says biyom hashlishi biyom atasaref. You have to saref belayla. You don't burn it at night. That carbon. You don't burn it at night. So fine. This is all a very side discussion about shlamims. Now, midika amar, since the Gemara asked yehenechal or lishlishi. Since the Gemara asked, well, let us eat it on the or of the third day, which we translated to mean Tuesday night, Alma or Ortahu, don't you see that the word or means night? Shmamina, you're right, or means night. Toshma, another one, or Shal Yom Kippurim, the night of Yom Kippur night, Yom Kippur Kol Nidre night, that's what we're going to say it means, Kol Nidre night, Mispalel Sheva, the Shemona Esmer has 7 brachos, umizvade, and you say vidui, shachris, mispalal sheva, umizvade, Yom Kippur morning, also the Shemona Esmer has 7 brachos, and you say vidui, but musaf mispalal sheva, umizvade, by musaf you have 7 brachos, and you say vidui, but mincha mispalal sheva, umizvade, by mincha, you say 7, and you have vidui, then the arvis, now matzah Yom Kippur, the fast is over, Mispalel me'ein shmona esar. You say a abridged version of shmona esrei. Why? Because everyone's hungry. So we don't want to be matriach tzim, but to say a long shmona esrei from Ayriv, just do the abridged version, which we had in brachos. Sometimes you could do the abridged version if it's a makom zakana, if you're in a rush. So it's a good idea to do the abridged version. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer Mishamavotzav Mispalel shmona esar shlemus. No, you can't. You have to say a full shmona esrei, even though it's a tircha. Why? Because you must say Havdalah in Chonin Hadas, and how could you say Havdalah in an abridged version? So on daf Chof Tes in Brachos, where this Gemara comes up, so the Gemara asked over there, so just stick in Chonin Hadas in the abridged version. Could you do that? The Gemara ended there, Kasha. The Gemara didn't have an answer for that. Right? The Gemara was stuck. So I think the Rajba over there had a whole discussion about why it couldn't be done. I don't really remember. I think it had to do with the fact that Havdalah is a separate thing, and it'll go against all the rules of Havinenu and Tefillah Ketzara. But the Gemara over there didn't answer that question. So over here the Gemara doesn't even ask it. Anyway, what's the bottom line? Alma that you see over here, or to who? The word or means night, because we started off or of Yom Kippur, right? I said Kol Nidre night. But it means night. Because we give every other time anyway. We give the morning, Musaf, Mincha, then we said Matzah Yom Kippur, to Alma or Urdu, Shma Mina, you're right, or means night. Toshma, another try. The Tani Debei Shmuel. We learned in the Yeshiva of Shmuel. Lele Arba Asar. On the night of the 14th, they hear this memory uses the word Lail. Night. Bodkin, that's clear. No one argues that Lail means night. So Leil Arba Aser, Boker Aser Chametz L'Or Haner. You can check for the Chametz with the light of a candle. Alma or Tehu. You see that it means night. Now, we proved so many times that the word Or means night. So really, Rav Huda, who said it means day, is really, how's he going to get out of all that? How can he say Or means day? We said so many times it means night. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ella, Bein Rav Huna, Bein Rav Yehuda, Dekuli Alma, Or Tehu. Everybody will agree that at least in our Mishnah, Or means night. Everybody agrees to that. V'lo pligi, and they weren't arguing. They were never arguing. What's the issue? Mar ki asrei, umar ki asrei. Each one of them was saying the common language of their town. Ba'asrei, the Rav Huna, in the town of Rav Huna, karu nagi. They call night nagi. They call it light. Why do they do that? So it says on the side, the reason they do that, I think the Maseret of Shas says it, the reason they do that is because it's Lashon Saginar. It's like when you call a blind person someone who's full of light. His whole life is in the dark. But you call him someone who's full of light. So too, they call the night something that is light. Why specifically here? So the Rambam says, because we want to start off the Maseret in a nice way. Something wrong with the word Leil. Nothing wrong with it. Right? But it's nice that it's thought of in a bright way. That's all. Uba'ashved Rav Yehuda, and in the town of Rav Yehuda, Karu Leile, they would call it Leil. Fine. V'tana didan, my time alok tani Leile. Why did our Tana start off, why didn't he not start off with the word Leil? Because Lishna Ma'alya Hudanakad, he took a Lishna Ma'alya, he used a nice, fine language. As we've said, first of all, Shmuel didn't. Shmuel used the word Leil. Right? So the Rambam said, because you want to start off the Masechta that way. Why? Kedrei Yeshua ben Levi. Like the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Amr of Yeshua ben Levi. Yeshua ben Levi said, La'olam al yoti adam davar miguna mipiv. A person should never say a davar miguna, something not proper. Shaharei ikim hakasav shmona osios, because the Torah went out of its way 8 osios. V'lo hoti davar miguna mipiv. Not to say something improper. What's improper? Shenemar, because it says by Noach, min ha-behema ha-tahora, bring into the teva the behema ha-tahora, u-min ha-behema asher einenu tahora, and from the animals that are einenu tahora. It didn't say the word tame. It didn't say the word tame. It said the word einenu tahora. And that's 8 extra letters. If tame is 3 letters, einenu tahora, so the whole discussion, what about the vav of tahora? So either way, it's 8 letters. And the Torah spent 8 extra letters to tell me the principle of don't say something davar maguna. Rashi points out that the word leil is not something that's a davar maguna. Nothing wrong with that word. Right? But he says, you see from the memory of Yerushua ben Levi that a person should always speak in nice language, that it's preferable if you have the opportunity to say a nicer way of saying something that you can say in a not nice way. Right, the word leil is not a taboo word. Nothing wrong with that word. But the word or is a finer word. And you see from here that if you have an opportunity, rather say the finer word. And the Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, in the third Shari, in Simon Reish Lamed, he says that why is it considered a davar maguna to refer to the behemoth tameos as einenu tahora? As tameos. They are tame animals. They are. Right, so what? Why is it such a bad thing to say that? What in Parsha Shmini we call them tameh. The Torah is not shy over there. Tack them over here. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says something very interesting. He says, he says that ki be'eis ha'hi at that time, by Noach's time, ha'isa behena ha'tameh muteris ba'achila. The non-kosher animals were mutter to eat. Ach lo ha'isa tahara le'karban. They just couldn't be bought for a carbon. That's why Noach took more kosher animals because he was going to be carbonous with them. Al Kane, therefore, Nefshin Lashon Maguna. It's not appropriate. Im Yigana Adam Hadavar Vasher Heim L'Michael Adam. If you're going to belittle things that are food, that's why it's inappropriate there. Because you're belittling food. Because all the food was edible. All the animals were okay to eat. That's why it was no good. And then he goes on that we're going to say something in a minute about that there's a Gemara Baba Basra that says that Afilu Gnus HaBehema Tmeya Lo Dibra Kasev. The Torah didn't even want to mention the Gnus of animals. And the Gemara asks over there, what about Leah? Right, the Torah says that Leah's eyes were rakos. Isn't that a gnai? So the Gemara says, no, it was a shavak, because she didn't want to be married to Esav. Okay. So, fine. Now, Rav Papa says, Teisha, I have a case where the Torah said 9 letters. Shenamar, because it says, Ki yebcha ish, asher lo yiyetar mikra laila. Again, it says that if you have a guy who's asher lo yiyetar, he's not tar, mikra laila, because he had a mishap in the night. So what do you mean he's not tar? It could have said tame. Tar went out of its way to say lo tar. Ravina Amar, eser, 10 really, it's 10. Why? Because vav the tar, there's a vav there in the tar. So there's a discussion, is the vav counted or not? Even if it's not counted, Rashi says it still proves that you have so many letters. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, Sheish Esrei, 16 letters. Shenemar, this is the pasuk in Shmuel, Ki Amar, because they said, Mikra hu, he had a mishap, Bildi tar hu, he's not tar, Kilo tar, because he's not tar. They didn't say he's Tameh. There's so many extra letters over there, just to prove the point. So the Rabbi says over here, all these cases, the Torah many times says, Tameh hu lachem, Tamei hulachem, right? Don't eat that. Tamei hulachem. So the Ravid says, if it's something that you need to know the reason, why can't I eat that? Because it's tamei hulachem. Don't eat. Don't go near that. That's tamei. Then the Torah goes. The Torah doesn't mind saying lashon maguna. Torah's got to let you know. We don't want you going near that. But by Noach and these cases, it doesn't make a halachic difference. It's a difference. Those animals are. I want you to bring 2, and those animals I want you to bring 7. So why does the Torah have to say tamei? So then the Torah will go out of it. That's why the Torah goes out of its way in these cases. Okay, so why does it say it always, the whole Torah? Only these cases are picked. Why? Because no halachic difference. No halachic difference if you call the animals that Noach was bringing to the Teva to a Tameh or Eino Tahora. It doesn't make a difference. So therefore the Torah will go out of its way and teach you the lesson that if you can, you say speak in 9th language. But what if it's a halachic difference? We don't want shakates to shakates, all these references to all the things you're not allowed to eat. The Torah is very explicit. Tame, don't go near them, because it has a big halachic difference. Okay. Tanya debay Rabbi Shmuel, we learned in the yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, lo'ol nisapar ada b'loshen nekiya. A person should always use fine language. Why? Shahare bezav karo merkav, because by azav, the Torah, azav is a man who has some kind of discharge, the man says that anything he rides on, merkav, anything he rides on, ubi isha, by a woman who's a zava, who has also discharges, also is a tameya, karu moshav. The Torah calls it moshav, which means something that she sits on, because the Torah doesn't want to say that a woman's riding on an animal with her legs spread apart like that. That's like not a fine thing to discuss. So therefore, the Torah rather says that they uses the word moshav, like she's sitting on it. She's sitting on it, not riding. When you picture a woman riding an animal, you think up one thing, and when you say sitting, you think up something else. You think of something much finer. That's why the Torah says that. V'omer, and it says, Vativchar lashon arumim, that you should choose the lashon of smartness, of arumim, of being wise, being clever. You should pick that language. V'omer, it also says in Mishlei, in Eov, v'das fasai, and the das of my lips, baru milelu. I chose it, I was borer it to speak. So, my v'omer, why are these two psukim here? We already have it in the Torah. The Torah already said that the Torah goes out of its way to describe things in a finer way. So the Gemara says, "V'chite mahani mili b'daraisa." That's all I'm discussing. The Torah will do that. Avol b'drabanan lo. So Tashma. Therefore, the Navi says, "V'omer v'tivcha lashon arumim." Even if it's Rashi explains what this means, even if it's things in the Gemara or Brisa, you're learning Torah. You're learning with the Chavrusa. So even there, you should speak in a fine way, because that's the pasuk of v'tivcha lashon arumim, which Rashi says refers to learning Torah. "V'chite mahani mili b'drabanan avol b'mili d'alma lo." But even just stam talk about the news and the weather, you should also speak in fine ways. How do you know that? V'omer, it says, V'dasafasai bar malelu. Any kind of speech that you're speaking, you should speak in a fine way. Now the Gemara says, Uvi'isha loksiv ba merkav. But by women, it never uses the lashon of merkav to ride an animal. V'haksiv, but it says, V'atakam rifka v'naroseha. Rifka was going back with Eliezer, Vatirkav na'al ha'gmalim. She rode on the camel. It says Vatirkav on the camel. So you see, the Torah does use that language. So the Gemara says, no, Hashem over there, Mishum be'isusa d'gmalim. Because women in general are afraid of camels. It's very high, it's very dangerous, it's very tall, it's fearful. Therefore, Urchahi, by a camel, it's normal. That's what the Sfasema says this means. It's normal for women to do it. Therefore, there's no problem the Torah saying, because it's not a davar maguna. But by a horse or by other animals, the Torah would never say it. Because it's something that's not normal, And therefore, when he conjures up an inappropriate image. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, but it says in this week's parsha, we're going to read it tomorrow, V'yikach Moshe es ishto, Moshe took his wife, Tzipporah, V'yetz banav, and the children, V'yarkivim al hachamar, and he put them on the donkey. Right? And Rashi there says, this is the donkey that Mashiach is going to ride on, this is the donkey that Avram saddled, this is the famous donkey. So Tzipporah was sitting on the donkey, the Torah says it. So the Gemara says, no, Hashem over there, Hishom banav, because there were children there, there were young children, Urchehu, therefore it was normal. The Rosh Yosef says that Tzipporah didn't ride on the animal. Tzipporah didn't ride on it. She was just leading it along with the kids that were on it. She was making sure they didn't fall. The Rav Sadji Gaon on this pasuk says that really it should say chamorim in plural. So I don't know how that fits because there's more than one camel. But if you have children, it's okay, right? Because then you're watching the children, so then the whole situation is a normal situation. What? Because Rivka was on a horse. Shouldn't have children. Yeah, all her maidens, all her troop. Right. No, she didn't have children. She was going. She was her shidduch. She was going back with Eliezer. So she had all her friends, all her chevra, all her maids, whatever. So, but over here with the children, then it's a normal thing. You have to watch the kids, and then it's normal. But it says v'hi rochev es al hachamor, that this is talking about Batsheva. Batsheva or Avigail, one of them, Avigail, that she was coming down to beg David that David shouldn't kill her husband because her husband was trying to, you know, kill David. So she was going there to plead for his life. So it says Rocheves Alachamar. She was riding on the donkey. It says Rocheves. So Hashem over there Mishum beisus de leila orchahu. Either it was a nighttime. That's normal. She was afraid of the night, and then in the nighttime it's a normal situation. Or Mishum Bisusa Delela. I'm sorry. Mishum Bisusa Delela Leka. That's not a reason. But Mishum Bisusa De David, Ika. She was afraid of David. So she couldn't, what does that mean? She couldn't sit normal. She couldn't sit side saddle because she was so fearful of the encounter with David. She couldn't sit in a more delicate way because she was afraid of David. Or the encounter. V'ibaytzema b'isusa de David leka, nami leka, mishum d'isusa dahar ikka. She was afraid because she was going down a mountain. That's a dangerous terrain, so she was scared of that, and in that case, it's normal. Now, the Gemara asks, uba oraisa mi lo ksiv tamei? But it never, this is what we said before, it never says the word tamei in the Torah. It never says that. It says it many times. Ella, what does that mean? Kol hecha d'chi hadadi ninu. If ever a situation, Rashi here says something which is very difficult. Kol hecha, any time d'chi hadadi ninu, if the same amount of letters can be used, same space is taken up, then mishtoi b'lashon nekiya. We will use a finer language. So Rashi says, except in the case of the Mem and Aleph. Because they wanted to teach you the principle, they should speak in a fine language. So the Mepharshim asks, why do you need so many examples? According to Rashi, we said because the Ravid said because, right, because of these cases there's no halachic difference. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says that if it's the same, we'd rather teach you. So Rashi says no, that on Amud Aleph wanted to teach you the principle, but otherwise they'll always use a finer language, right? If it's the same amount of letters, and then he says call hechad and afishin mili, but if there's more letters, then mishtoy blashin ktsara, then we'll rather choose the short version. Why? Rashi says because a Talmidim can grasp something better if it's shorter. Guy goes, it's a leg ploppling away, it's very difficult to get anything out of that. But if you cut to the chase, then the Talmidim will know. That's what Rashi says. So the Mepharshim asks, so then why do you need so many examples for? Say it once, and we'll know the rule. Yes, you should learn. You should speak in a finer language, but not at the expense of compromising understanding. That far we're not going. So therefore, the Ravid says that the Ravid has a whole different explanation. He says it's this. One second. Oh, what was that? One more line. Kid Amar of Huna Amarav Amulei Amar of Huna Amarav Mishrei Rameir Lolam Yishana Adam LaTalmido Derech Kitzara. You should always speak to your Talmidim in a Derech Kitzara. Why? Because that way they'll understand it better. And many of the Mepharshim say, but this doesn't work in the reverse. If the Talmud wants to ask the Rebbe, that he should ask it as lengthy as possible so that he gets his question across. But as a general rule, And you find it many times in the Gemara, the Mishnah will say something, and the Gemara will say, why did the Mishnah say it in such a brief way? You have it on the first daf of Sukkah. Right? Why did the Mishnah say it such? The Mishnah always speaks such brevity. And the Gemara many times answers, because it's Derech Kitzara. Speak in brevity, you're not going to miss the point. You start talking in long, long circles, the Talmidim get lost. A few more lines. Now the Gemara says, if there's ever a time when it's the same amount of letters, you should use the better language. But Rocheves and Yosheves are the same amount of letters by Abigail, and the Navi says the word Rocheves and not the word Yosheves. And sitting is a finer language than writing, as we said before. So the Gemara answers, no, the Ka'amar Rocheves, Racheves Ksiv. There's no Vav in the word. So it's one extra letter. So we'd rather say the shorter version than say the longer version, which is finer. So the Ravid says, it depends. Are we talking about a Davar Maguna or just something that's not fine? That's his distinction. He says, calling something Tameh as opposed to Einena Tahora is not a Davar Maguna in the way we would understand it as improper speech. And the Rabbeinu Yonah discusses further about Lashon Hara and Nevel Peh. It's not what that is. It's just not fine. There's a difference between not fine and bad speech. So if it's not fine, then maybe the rules are not the same, which is what all the cases on Amud Aleph. It's not a bad speech. They're just, you can say it in a finer way. So the Torah says sometimes, then it depends on whether or not you can cut to the chase. Sometimes it'll be better to cut to the chase and to be more concise. The Talmidim should understand if you're not going to say a finer, you're not saying bad speech. You're just saying the word Tomei instead of Einena Tahora. So for brevity, it's better to do that. So in our cases, the Ravid Lashitaso, because at Amud Aleph, he had specific reasons why these cases were said in longer ways. Right? To teach you the principle, there's a halachic difference. Okay. Hanu Trei Talmide, there were two Talmidim, the Haviyasvi Kamei Derav, they were sitting in front of Rav. Chadamar one said, Shavsin and Hashmaitza Kedavar Acher Misankon. Oh, the learning today, the Shmaitza today was so tiring, I feel like a Davar Acher, which is a pig. That's what I feel like now. I'm so tired. The Chadamar and the other one said, Shavsinon Haishmaitza Kigidi Misaknon. I feel like I'm a goat. I'm so tired like a goat. And obviously we know that there are some people that won't even say the word pig. That's why the Gemara refers to it as a Davar Acher. So it doesn't even want to say it. V'lo ishtoi Rav b'hadi d'haich. Rav would not listen, Rav would not talk to the Talmud who used the word Davar Acher. He wouldn't even talk to him. Because he used improper, not improper, unrefined, low speech. Next, Hani Trei Talmidim, there were two Talmidim, Davi Yosvi Kamei de Hillel, they were sitting in front of Hillel, the Chad Menayu Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, one of them was Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, or another version of the story, V'amrilei Kamei de Rebbe, that the story happened in front of Rebbe, the Chad Menayu Rabbi Yochanan, and the Talmud was in front of Rabbi Yochanan. So Chad Amar, depending on the version, it was one Talmud said, B'tema Boatsman B'tahorah V'ein Moskin B'tahorah. How come Boatsman is the word used for harvesting grapes, and moskin is the word used for harvesting olives? So how come when you harvest grapes, you should only use kalim that are tahar? Why? Because we know that any food can only transmit tumah if it once upon a time was wet. So when you're harvesting the grapes, you can squeeze the grapes a little bit. The juice is going to ooze out. It's going to make the grape wet. And that's going to make the grape able to transmit tumah. So be very careful that when you're harvesting, use kale that are tahar. Otherwise, they're going to become all the foods become tameh, right? Or they're going to make the kalem tameh. You would make sure you use tahar kalem. But when you're doing olives, it doesn't make a difference. Why? Because olives, even if the juice is going to ooze out, the Gemara learns out from other sources, that olive oil that oozes out at the time of harvesting is not considered olive oil that has the din to be able to be machshir the olives to become tameh, because it's not processed yet. The grapes, yes. The olives, no. So he asked. So they ma boatsin b'tahira. When you're harvesting grapes, you have to make sure you use tar kalim, because you can run into big tumor problems. But the ain moskin b'tahira. But when you're harvesting olives, you don't have to worry about it, because no matter what, those olives aren't going to become tamei, because they never got wet. They got wet in the physical sense, but not in the halachic sense, because that's not olive oil. Even if it is ratzon, because this is not considered olive oil, because it's not refined at the press. That's when it becomes olive oil. Wine has a din wine right now, even in the field. That's so V'chadamar, and another one asked the same question in a different way. He asked, "Bipneima botrin b'tahira? How come we have to be botzer? We have to harvest grapes with tahira utensils, but umoski betuma. But when we do harvesting of olives, we can do it betuma. Doesn't make a difference." So Amar, he said, the Rebbe said, "Muftachani bazeh. I know about this one. Shemor haRabbi Yisrael. He's going to be a Mor haRabbi Yisrael." The loha yom watim, it wasn't too long. Achimor harabi Yisrael. Until Taka, he became Mor harabi Yisrael. So who is he talking about? Which one? So it's a machlokas. Some say he was talking about the one who said, there's two things that were said. One said, that the man botim but tahira of ain moskim but tahira. He used the word tahira, but he was longer. Right? He used the word tahira, but he was longer. So some say he praised him, because he spoke in a foreign language, even though he was longer. And the other one said, mibne ma moskim but tahira, mibne ma. Boatsman b'tahira, umoskim b'tumah. He was shorter, but he used improper speech. So he was praised. As we said before, if you use improper speech, as long as it's not dover maguna, it's just parav, right? Then it's better. So someone says, one of the achronim say, that it's mashma, when he said the line, umoskim b'tumah, it could have been interpreted to mean, and you certainly should, for whatever reason, only harvest with tamei kalim. In other words, he wasn't asking a question, he was making a statement. That's incorrect halacha. You don't have to harvest grapes, you don't have to harvest olives with Tomei Kalim. So since he was, you can't use brevity to the extent that you say things that could be interpreted wrong. That far we don't take it. Therefore he wasn't praised, the first one was praised. So it's a machlokas, which one was praised?
Based on what you said before about the student speaking longer though.
Right, that's a question. So if the student's speaking longer, right, but here he said something that could be interpreted as incorrect.
Right,
so he was trying to cut corners. He was saying something that could be incorrect.
Maybe he was trying to be more halacha at that point.
What do you mean?
He was saying a definitive halacha. He's saying you definitively.
Right, but that's not true. You don't have to harvest with tumah.
Okay.
So he said that it could be interpreted. Therefore, he wasn't praised. So to know he was because it's parav. He didn't say something maguna. He just said something parav, and that's better than being lengthy. So it goes both ways. Hanu tlasa kahani. There were three kahanim. And they were sitting around, they were talking. Chad Amar, one said, Higiani Kapul, my chelek, my portion of the lechem upon him was such a small, it was the size of a bean. The whole discussion, how much they got, it was the size of a bean. Chad Amar one said, Higiani Kizayas, I got a Kizayas. Chad Amar one said, Higiani Kizan of Halta, I got the size of the tail of a Halta, which is one of the Shmona Shvatzim. So you can see already what this guy did. Right? That was my size, of my lechem upon him bread. So he said something, he said that, it was something so outrageous. So Badku, they checked it out, Badku Achrav, they checked it out, Umatsubo Shemetz Puzzle, and they found in him a Shemetz Puzzle. What's a Shemetz Puzzle? Rashi says, his lineage was no good. He was a Chalol. Tosva says, no, he worshipped Avodah Zarah. He served in as a Kohen for Avodah Zarah. Tosva says, what do you mean Shemetz Puzzle? Shemetz means like a trace. Either you're a Puzzle or you're not a Puzzle. Either you're a Chalol or you're not a Chalol. What do you mean Shemetz Puzzle? Tosfos doesn't like Rashi's pshat. Rashi, Tosfos says, no, it means he was over in Avodah Zarah. So now the Gemara says, V'ha tanan, we have a Mishnah, Ein botim in amizbech v'lamayla. When they would check out the yichus of people, if a Kohen got the okay to work on the mizbeach, then he's kosher. He got the okay. Ein botim, you don't have to check him out again, whether his yichus is pure. We know already, he already passed the test. So how did check out this guy? This guy was working on the Mizbeach. That's why some don't like Tosfos' pshat. Because what they would check out to see if he was over in Avodah Zarah. They would check out his lineage. What do you mean Shemetz Puzzle means over in Avodah Zarah? So some say yes, they would check that out too. But what kind of history? What did this guy do in his youth? Where was he running around? They would check that out also, besides the lineage. Others say no. After he already passed the test, then he went to be over in Avodah Zarah. So he already passed. And they found out, hey, what kind of guy is this? So, lo tema shemetz pasul, don't say shemetz pasul, ele'ema shachatz pasul. Meaning he was like an apikores. Meaning, Rashi says, if somebody denied certain aspects of avoda, they wouldn't let him be a kohen. They wouldn't let him do avoda. So by him belittling the lechem upon him, they realize there's deeper things going on here, and they found out that he's an apikores. So they took him away. Or you could say, no, shiny hasan, there it's different. Rashi explains this to mean the Iyud Aranashi. He brought it on himself. What does that mean? That means the Badika that they did on him was a mistake. And when he said that improper speech, they realized, hey, we got to recheck this. And they found out that he didn't have any yichus. Hahu Arma, there was once a goy, Tahavi Salat V'Achal, the famous story, Tahavi Salat V'Achal Psachim B'Yerushalayim. He used to go every year and be included in the Karban Pesach. Amar, it says, Amar, he said, Ksiv, I know what the Pasuk says, I know the Torah, it says, Kol Ben Necha Lo Yochal Bo. Any Ben Necha is not allowed to eat from the Karban Pesach. Kol Orel Lo Yochal Bo. Any Orel, right? Not allowed to eat from the Karban Pesach. I don't have a bris mila, I'm a guy. Right? So, Va'ana Ha'ka'achil Mishupure Shupure. And I get the best, choicest portion. So Tosfos says, there are Gemaras that say, if a guy walks up and says, you know what, I'm a ger. Do we believe him? We don't believe him. We have to have some kind of proof. So what's going on here? He walked into the base of the Mikdash and said, I'm a Jew? So Tosfos says, yes, because there's so many Jews there. Okay, he's probably Jewish. The Gemara that says, if I'm a ger, is talking about, well, you know the guy's a guy. You saw him all around. He's a guy, he's driving around, he's a guy. Then one day, hey, I was Maguire. Oh yeah? By who? Then we have a suspicion, because we know before he was a guy. Somebody walks into shul, I'm a Jew. Why would we suspect otherwise? So that's a whole discussion about what that. So he walked into the basement, I'm Jewish. Okay, I'll join in your group. I'll let the car base up with you people. So Amalei Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir said, Mi kasofulach me'alia? Did they give you from the tail? He said they give you the best portion. They give you from the tail. That's the best. So Amalei lo, they didn't give me that portion. So kisalach de lahasam, when he went over there, so he said, when you go to next year, Amalhu, tell them sofuli me'alia. I want the tail. So kisalach, when he got up there on erev Pesach, Amalehu me'alia sofuli. I want the tail. Amrulah says the Kahanim told him, Alia Legavoa, we don't give that out. That gets burnt on the Mizbeach. So Salku goes to Hashem. Amrulah Man Amrulah, who told you to ask for the tail? Hachi Amrulah Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Amru Mayhai the Kahanim. Who is this guy? Because they realized that when Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira would never say an incorrect halacha. That was like Aleph Beis, that the tail doesn't get eaten. So they realized there's something deeper going on. Barku Basrei, they checked him out. Ashkechuhu the Aramah, they saw he was a goy. Vekatlu, and they killed him. Shalkulei l'Rehudim b'Mesera, Shalom l'Rehudim b'Mesera, peace to you. The At v'Netziven, you're all the way in Netziven. Umitzudasech Prusa b'Yerushalayim, and your net is spread even here in Yerushalayim. You ferreted it out. So first of all, a bunch of questions. First of all, why wasn't Rehudim b'Mesera doing? Why wasn't he being all the regal? What was he doing in his hometown? Tosfos asks that question. He gives three answers. He says either he was a rachok, or he was a zakein, or four answers, or he was a chutz la'aretz. He says there's a pasuk in Bereishis that the Yerushalmi says that the Tzivin is a place of chutz la'aretz. That's a whole discussion whether someone was in chutz la'aretz is chayav in ol regel. And the fourth answer was because he didn't own any land, and if you don't own land, you're pater from alil regel. That leads to a separate discussion about what's the connection between being putter from Ola Regel to being putter from Karban Pesach. Fine, if you don't own land, you're putter from Ola Regel. What about Karban Pesach? So some say, no, what Tosfos was saying was, he didn't go to be Ola Regel because he didn't own land. And why wasn't he bringing the Karban Pesach? Because he was a Rachok and he was a Zakein. And any Enachanim will have to be Pesach Sheni. Rachok doesn't get you out of it forever. Right now, he was over there, so Pesach Sheni, he's going to have to come. But Enachanim, regarding being Ola Regel, he didn't have any land. So I saw this yesterday in the Biurei Chassidus al Hashas. Someone there asks, how could he not have land? Every Jew had land. Every Jew got a chelik of Eretz Yisrael. How could he not have? So he says, like, unbelievable. He says, there was one group of Jews who didn't get land. Who were they? They were the ones who left Mitzrayim early and tried to go out. And they all died, and they were all resurrected in the days of Yecheskel. And in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rehudah ben Beseira got up and said, I'm one of those. I'm a descendant from them. And my tefillin for my grandfather, I got a Kabbalah, whole story. So he never got land. Because he went out, he was his descendant, his parents went out early. They never were part of the Chelek. It's difficult because some say that whole story never happened. That was just a dream that Yecheskel had to teach lessons. But Pashtas maybe that did happen. Well, some say no, it certainly did happen. I think the Rambam says that it certainly did happen, that story. That's an authentic story. And Yehuda Ben Seira in that Gemara in Sanhedrin says, I'm from them. That's why he didn't have any land. Works out well.
Did they go out early or after the Meraglim?
No, they go out of Mitzrayim early.
I thought it was after the Meraglim, then they tried to go on their own.
Who, the Bnei Ephraim?
Yeah.
I thought it was Bnei Ephraim. Oh, is that what it was? I thought it was just one day they made a chesed that the 400 years are up, and they got up and left, and they died on the way. Either way, they were early. They weren't around when the Chalukah happened. They weren't around when Yeshua was there. They were only resurrected dry bone. This is a famous dry bone. They were only resurrected later, right? And then so they never got a chelek. So that's why he didn't have any land. Why'd they kill him? Well, what'd he do to deserve Misa? What'd he do, this guy? He's eating from the carbon. Fine, it says, oh, Kolbe. So this is a little discussion. Who is this pasuk going on? Kol ara lo yochabo. Kol benecha lo yochabo. Is it going on Jews? By the way, Jews, don't feed the carbon pesach to goyim. Don't invite them to the Seder. Don't do that. Or is it going on the goyim? That's a machlokas. Rambam seems to say it's going on Jews. The Smag says, no, it's going on goyim. Because if Mishnah says it's going on goyim, the goyim don't want Torah. It's not one of the Shevet Bnei Noach. Right? Jews should not give. Don't include goyim in your carbon pesach, which is exactly what they did here. So then it's only on the Jew. It's a din on the Jew. It's not a din on goyim. So some say, so what was he chayiv misa for? So some say, first of all, it could have been he was over in Gezel. Because even though he paid. He paid his portion for the carbon. So the whole discussion is it Mishulchan Gavoa? Is it from Hashem? Did he steal from Hashem because he wasn't really supposed to be there, even if he paid for it? Or did he steal from other Jews, even if he did pay, he wasn't supposed to be there? Some say it's like saying what the Ramban says by Shechem. Because they didn't do dinim. He's violating dinim. It's a Jewish custom. What are you doing over here? Right? It's all his past sins he was chayav misa for that killed him now. There's a whole discussion about that. Others say no, that even though it's not one of the Shevet Mitzvot Bnei Noach, this pasuk is going on goyim, and therefore, and by goyim, anything that they do, the chayav misa, any impropriety that they do, even gezel, even dinim, even menachai, the chayav misa for it. And even though it's not one of the classic Shevet Mitzvot Bnei Noach, the pasuk goes on goyim, and therefore they were chayav misa for that. Therefore, he was chayav misa for that. Okay, we'll stop here. The next few lines is the easy agadata, and we'll pick up tomorrow. And today's shiur was learned Le'ilu Nishmas, Chana Bas Baruch.